listening to the Paul McGuire Report. By the way, you want to spread the word of these programs. Knowledge is power. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, said Jesus. Increasing people's awareness, educating them, and informing them at a far higher level from a biblical world view is essential. So I'm asking you to help me by partnering with me, by helping spread the Paul McGuire Report. Send the links to your friends through all the free videos I have, the video teachings on the new Roku channel, the Paul McGuire Report, messages, the thousands of pages of articles I have that are free at paulmcguire.us, plus all the books and stuff. And you can do that by going to paulmcguire.us, and you can listen to these programs anytime you want on any technology that you want, cell phone, laptop, or whatever. You go to paulmcguire.us, and you can download these programs on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, RSS feed, and many other social media apps, and use your social media to spread the word. You know, we don't have some big marketing budget. We have zero marketing budget. We're not CNN or Fox News. We don't have Saudi Arabian investors and investors from the Middle East. And we certainly don't have the globalist elite pumping a fortune in us. You know, building a giant media conglomerate is not as hard as you think. These media conglomerates are not the result of just brilliant men and, man, you know, they started from nothing and these great business philosophies. No, they're given seed money in the billions and hundreds of millions to build these media empires by the globalist elite in the international banking families, so they can control people's minds. That's what it's all about. And you need to educate your friends about how they do control people's minds, because the average American is clueless and in a trance state and has no idea what's going on. Again, I travel all over the place. I walk through the airports. I walk in malls. I shop at the big retailers for food and stuff. I listen to people's conversations. I listen to and watch these other networks. It is incredible to me how ignorant and dumbed down and gullible and in a trance most Americans are. That's it. Their reasons for voting are like pathetic beyond belief. And how they manipulate special classes of people with just sound bites or images or keywords, how they'll target and manipulate ignorant, ill-informed evangelical women. And evangelical women, many of them, not all of them, those that listen to this program are not that way. Many of evangelical women sit under pastors that basically deny reality, teach them nothing about how to make a biblical decision concerning an election. Catholics, the same thing. Just they receive no teaching from their church on biblical thinking, a biblical worldview. And so I hear them call in on these non-Christian radio shows, and I hear them being interviewed by CNN and stuff. And man, CNN is laughing. They're putting up these evangelical women and Catholic women that don't have a biblical worldview, that really don't know their Bible. They deliberately go to churches that are nothing more than feel-good churches, so they can't make any decision based on what the Bible teaches, except, you know, simple ones like don't commit adultery or whatever, and don't lie. They can't make a decision on a political candidate because their viewpoint is nothing more than emotional and experiential. And, you know, I hate to tell it to them, I hate to break the news to them, but God's going to hold them accountable for their bad stewardship. And God will hold them accountable for continually being stiff-necked and going to a church where the pastor is teaching false doctrine. He's denying reality, because a faithful pastor will teach you how to pray. He won't tell you who to vote for. But he'll tell you how to think biblically so you can arrive at your own decision. And when I hear these evangelical women talk, which, CNN loves to parade them up on the TV screen because it's suiting their agenda, their understanding of what real biblical morality is staggeringly evil. I mean, they're not evil, but it's like it comes down to this. If Adolf Hitler was polite in public and said the Lord's Prayer and did some, and was very moral, then all the evangelical women and men who go to churches that don't teach them a biblical worldview would vote for him, Adolf Hitler, as the evangelicals voted for Adolf Hitler in a popular election in Nazi Germany. Because they would say this external morality is very important. Oh, we can't vote for somebody who swears. We can't vote for somebody who made a locker room, admittedly infantile, immature, and unacceptable remark. But we can't vote for somebody who does that sin. That's how evangelical women think, and evangelical men and Catholic men and women think, largely, not all of them. But we can vote for somebody who swears like a truck driver when no one's around, who sleeps in threesomes, women on women relationships, and two men and women. We can vote for a political party or a candidate that firmly said in the debate, in light of what the other candidate described as the medical procedure of partial birth abortion. Let me recap that for you. Partial birth abortion is when the baby is fully grown in the woman's womb. So that baby is so mature and so far along in being developed that that baby could be taken out of the mother's womb at that point, and it would be a fully real baby, and it would survive being born, has a full personality, full physical development, and like premature births. And if they're taken care of, that they will grow up to be healthy human beings, because they are fully formed babies. They're just in the mommy's tummy area, and they haven't been born yet. I mean, we're talking about babies that are like in the ninth month of pregnancy, 1 week before delivery, sometimes days before delivery. That's not an exaggeration. Or 6, 7, 8 months or whatever. And we all know that premature babies live. They just need a little bit of care because they're very tiny, but they're fully formed. Partial birth abortion is a procedure. Please hear me. Because you have a holy responsibility before God to communicate and educate your friends, especially your Christian friends who claim to love Jesus. Because loving Jesus, I'll stay away from that for a moment. So anyway, during the partial birth procedure, the doctor will reach into the womb and forcibly yank out the baby head first. I think it's head first. I'll make sure I got that right. Anyway, the normative partial birth and birth abortion procedure is the doctor then starts to pull out this fully grown baby that is capable of living now outside of the womb, rams a scissor or some other instrument into the skull of the baby, murdering it, and then they throw away, no, they don't throw away the baby, they put the baby's body in a bag, and has been proven by these secret people videoing the abortion clinics, this fully intact dead baby's body, the parts, the eyeballs, the organs, and everything else is then sold all over the world for people who need those organs. That is what a partial birth abortion is. and it is incredibly painful, agonizing death for the baby. And more than that, it's a fully viable living human being that is murdered in cold blood. Now, I'm not going to get into the other issue of whether a baby is a full baby or not earlier on. It obviously is. This fetus thing is a way of making people feel not guilty. It's not true. Okay, so the other candidate and the party that it represents, in response to this question, fully defended that candidate's position on partial birth abortion, called it a woman's right to choose, and that candidate would defend that no matter what. I want you to think about that. Murdering a baby in cold blood. Okay? Now, listen carefully to me. So then you have all these evangelical women and evangelical men who, because they sit under pastors who never teach them how to integrate the Bible with real life, how to have a biblical worldview and make biblical decisions, these evangelical women and Catholics and others and men actually are struggling over who to vote for president for, because in their minds, they're trying to balance out, like on a left and right, two columns of a sheet. Well, gee, one candidate said very objectionable, degrading things against women, which he did. other women have come forward saying he groped them or whatever. It appears that most of those women, if not all of them, were lying, and that they've been debunked. But let's say they all weren't lying. Let's say he did kiss a woman on the lips at one of the resorts this candidate owns. He kissed a woman on the lips inappropriately because she didn't ask for it. He just walked up and just kissed her. The other descriptions are more serious, but they've been debunked. Are you telling me that if indeed this candidate did kiss a woman, that that's a sexual advance of such seriousness? I'm not defending it. It is a form of sexual abuse, no question about it. But put it on a realistic scale, for crying out loud. Okay, so now you're doing your math morally about who you're going to vote for. And you got one candidate who does have a problem mouth and may have a very immature sexual attitude towards women, which, by the way, I'm not defending it, but going back to the generation that he lived in and stuff in the East Coast, this fake Puritanism, this fake Christian morality by all these members of the media, especially female, who when they're asked, oh, I've never heard this language before. I've never heard of this. Oh, come on. Are you Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm? I mean, did you grow up in Oz? The only women and men in America who may not have been exposed to that language are people who either, for whatever reason, are not hooked up fully to the media, they're not going to movies, or they were raised in some kind of Christian or Catholic environment where the parents protected them and guarded them from being exposed to that vulgarity and crudity. Okay? But then it may be true. They never heard that language. But every other person, given today's world where pornography is everywhere, and pornography, especially among the younger generations, both male and female, they've been fully, doesn't mean they're all watching it on a regular basis, but beginning in like 13, 14, and 15, the vast majority of American children, whether you want to hear it or not, have been exposed regularly to pornography. Again, that doesn't mean they're watching it on an ongoing basis, but they have been heavily exposed to it. So you're telling me, I see this woman in her 20s, whatever, that she answered, I'd never heard language like that. And it appears she's affluent, East Coast, wealthy family, probably went to a prestigious college. Oh, come on. In those prestigious colleges, anything goes. They've heard everything. So for these women to fake being puritanical in the news media, what a bunch of flat-out liars. You know how many major colleges and universities in the United States, including the Ivy League colleges, are having things like satanic black masses, and I don't need to tell you what goes on in those things. They're having sexual seminars that would make the content of 50 Shades of Grey look like Sunday school, where people go, where men and women go to learn about S&M and bondage. Okay, then they have the harder core seminars. These are just about every college campus in America, except for the Christian ones. They have seminars on bondage, S&M, group sex, masturbation. I mean, it could go down the list. I'm not trying to offend you. This is common. Not to mention what they're seeing in the media, in the movies, what's going on episodic television that they're being exposed to, okay? I'm not easily shocked. I grew up in New York City, okay? I'm not easily shocked. But these generations and older have been exposed to everything under the sun. I know, I have three teenagers. Well, they're not teenagers. They're like 24, 25 now. And many of you have too. Come on. Listen to what they're talking about, what they've been exposed to. My kids went to Christian schools. It didn't matter. Okay. And we were strict, so strict in our home that one of my sons, when he was growing up, said, I feel like I live in a communist country because we blocked out every objectionable channel in their rooms. So, I mean, you know, they still, in the Christian schools, heard all this stuff. Okay, so then with episodic television, I don't want to offend you. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to be weird. My wife was channel surfing, and everybody said, oh, this is a great TV show. I hear that a lot, by the way, on episodic television. And then when we turn it on, we're horrified. And we're not like prudes, you know. So the thing is, how can I describe this? We turn it on, it's the first 60 seconds of like one of the number one episodic TV shows in America, either on HBO or Showtime. And in the first 60 seconds, there's a sexual scene. How can I say this without really offending you? There is a sexual scene that involves a man and a woman. I'm going to say it. Forgive me if it offends you, but you need to wake up and smell the coffee and deal with reality. It's a sexual scene that involves a man and a woman in the first 60 seconds of this number one or top three episodic TV shows in the nation. It's a man and a woman involved in a sexual relationship that involves urination and defecation. I'll leave it at that. I'm sorry that was offensive. I really do apologize. But that is that, and so many other things are going on, okay? It's showing up in the movies. What I just said is showing up in comedy movies. So this fake, phony, puritanical act that they never heard, the words that Donald Trump said regarding women, they're lying. They're immersed in a highly explicit culture, and they're lying. And then I hear the feigned puritanism and puritanical attitudes by all the media looking down. I've never heard this. It's disgusting. It's so offensive. And then this one prominent, one of the biggest cable television journalists on a liberal network, I had heard these comments made about him before, but they all added up when I found out something else, okay? is to show you his fake puritanical attitude regarding Trump. When the draw, the whatever it is, when the ball drops on Times Square, this particular male television news personality hosts the ball being dropped on Times Square, and he does a routine with this famous female comedian, I forgot her name, who is very vulgar, very sexually suggestive, extremely so, and everybody laughs while they do their routine on New Year's Eve, okay? And there's some pretty wild stuff said. That alone would tell you that they're very sophisticated sexually. And the female comedian made numerous inferences about this male news journalist's sexual activities and how she said something to the effect about how wild and out there they were. Okay, but then that male journalist really attacked Trump to how offended he never heard this before. And then somebody sent me an email, a news posting, and it's a video clip. It's not pornographic, but it's leans that way. I mean, there's no nudity or anything. And I'm watching a video of this male cable television news journalist up on a stage where Madonna is performing, you know, the female pop artist with all the sexual stuff. And while this male TV news journalist is up on the stage with Madonna, there's a bunch of gyrations and like S&M type things. And, well, I mean, you know, sexually perverse stuff going on. And then he gets spanked and other things. And okay, look, I'm not trying to offend you, but for him to say that he was offended and never heard this stuff by Trump, they're lying. The whole Hollywood television film industry thing and television news and everything else, one of the primary components is sex, whether it's news or whether it's movies. Now, that doesn't justify what he said, but let's put it in context. These people who are acting shocked are flat out lying. And then you neglect the escapades of the other candidate's husband and her own private life, which is, I'll just leave it alone because I already mentioned it. Okay, so see how it's rigged? All I do is talk about him. Now, here's the other thing. He was mocked. He was ridiculed for suggesting that the election and the voting process could be rigged. But I did research a year ago. There are allegations and announcements from numerous credible sources that a very large number of the electronic voting machines in the United States are owned by a particular foreign corporation whose leading stockholder is George Soros, who's the ultra-liberal super billionaire who finances Black Lives Matter and this current candidate and all these radical causes and the riots and disruptions. So this super billionaire, George Soros, he is the leading stockholder in a foreign corporation which manufactured and owns all the electronic voting, not all, a sizable amount of the electronic voting machines that are going to be used for, in America for the election. So you have a radical super billionaire who thinks nothing of playing any dirty trick to win an election, and he's going to be, his machines are going to be counting the vote. You think you're going to get an honest result? Of course you're not. That wasn't even mentioned. Number two is, as the other candidate was defending himself, he kept talking about the millions and millions of people that are registered to vote who are dead. Millions of people who are illegals who are registered to vote. And I don't know what the composite number of voter corruption is, the amount of people that are illegal, dead, and other things, you know, it's, nobody knows. But let's say it's 5 to 7 million people. That can swing a lot of elections. But the candidate during the debate stated the fact that they found like a million or two people who were dead registered to vote, and made a joke how one, after he died, converted to being a Democrat. So none of these things have been fixed. None of them have been fixed. I have information of what's going on in LA and other cities about the amount of illegals that are being organized by front groups who are ready to vote a particular way. And it's huge numbers. Media never covers it. So you have the other candidate being laughed, mocked at, and ignored for stating facts about the rigging of election. And then they attempt to entice him to accept the election, which is kind of a quasi-contractual obligation that they want to use on him. So if he were to lose the election and he saw that that he lost because the election was rigged by the media, by the voting thing, and by his own party, by the way. The Republican Party has abandoned him. That's never been done before. They're giving him no organizational support for voting at the polls whatsoever. They would rather have, the Republican elite would rather have their people vote for the other candidate, who stands for everything that they claim not to stand for, than allow this candidate to win. What does that do? It reveals everything about who these Republican elite are, globalists. So, you know, voting election being rigged is very real and very factual, as is the media rigging, very real and very factual, and many other things. So to laugh at the candidate and mock him, and he's been laughed at and mocked every step of the way. So, of course, he should reserve judgment. And that was a very sleazy trick. This has happened a number of times. They've set up the candidate through a very subtle question, knowing full well they intend to, weeks later, use it against him. And they did that with, it was the same male journalist who I was just talking about, who was getting spanked by Madonna. He asked a very entrapment-type question. I think it was in the second debate or first debate where he said something about, so there's going to be no more women allegations coming up, right? And that was a setup because they had already had the women allegations lined up and ready to go. So the candidate made the mistake of denying it. Very stupid, because they had their ducks in a row, and it did not make him look good when they released the people. And see, the other thing is, all these women come forward in the last week or two of the election. Okay? They were drummed up by the other party. Because you see, there's no way that a candidate can defend himself from a sexual allegation 2 weeks or a month before the election. By the time you get the lawyers, by the time you go through the process of proving that it was false, the only thing that the public remembers is that the women came forward, and a lot of people are going to believe the women, and if it turns out the women were lying, it's over, and that person lost the election. Now, for the biggie, all these accusations of the Russians interfering with our election, completely bogus. But the reality is, who is interfering with our election are the international globalist elite that are pouring in a fortune to defeat one candidate and promote the other candidate, because one candidate is going to protect the interests of the American people, and the other candidate is bought and sold for by the globalist elite. And that candidate is going to pass all the world trade treaties and the TTP and everything else, because that enriches the 1% and the globalist elite. Okay, they're controlling this election because they own the six corporations that own the media. Soros, a super billionaire, is acting as an agent for the globalist elite. Now, the other thing is that, well, there's so much, I mean, the lying, the 24/7 attack mode of all the networks, including the one that claims to be fair and balanced, it's not fair and balanced. I mean, the hit job that they wait, they pace themselves. They play cat and mouse. They throw in a little objectivity to ensnare you, and then once they bring you in, then they take the hammer out and they crash it on the skull of the other candidate. So we're in a very serious problem here. Very serious problem. Because one candidate, see, this is not about partisan politics, but one candidate is for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the recovery of America. The other candidate is about Marxism, socialism, the globalist elite. And let's remember what's the root of these two different, I shouldn't say parties, because the heads of both parties are following the globalist elite. But the two candidates, and many of the battles in America and Europe and New Zealand and Australia and whatever nation you live to. And by the way, the same thing is repeating itself in the European with all these populist candidates. People are rebelling against the globalist elite controlling the European Union. Okay, so let's spell this out more precisely. What this is really about, and this is what I talk about in my book, in my first book, A Prophecy of the Future of America. I document all this stuff. I talk about it in Mass Awakening. I talk about it in The Day the Dollar Died. I talk about it in Standing Down Goliath. And I talk about it in the brand new book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017. And the four DVD set of the same title. I talk about it in many of the shows, in the conferences, in my new Roku channel, The Paul McGuire Report. Go to paulmcguire.us for all of this. We have bundles on the books, extensive documentation. And here is the root. Underneath all of this, whether it's happening in the European Union or America, is there's two paths. On one path, we have the possibility, if God's people will show up on the spiritual battle and really pray and get involved, and if every single person would obey the Holy Spirit instead of pretending they don't hear him. May I say something to you personally? It's going to be in your face. I'm sitting here, by the way, at the, I'm speaking several times, at the Wake Up America 2 conference in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Sponsored by the Southwest Radio Church. A lot of great speakers. And I had to go back to my hotel room to do this. So I've never been to Gettysburg before. It took me forever to get here. I had to get up at 2 a.m. L.A. time, because, you see, to get to LAX, you have to get up so early, because if you simply get up early, you get stuck in a 3-hour parking lot called the 405 freeway. And it could take you 4 hours to drive from my house to LAX, and you miss your flight. So I had to get up at 2 a.m. in the morning to catch a 7 o'clock a.m. flight. Okay, and then flew to Chicago, and then I flew to Harrisburg. Then I took an Uber, and I'm laughing because the Uber guy was great. He made the trip worthwhile. And then I'm driving on these country roads because the Uber GPS or something, I don't know where we are. I haven't seen fall trees and the beautiful fall colors in so long. And so it's a gorgeous place. And now I'm at this convention center in Gettysburg. But I was jet lagged out of my mind, and that's being kind. Now, why am I saying this? Probably because I'm still jet lagged. So the point is, though, these two paths that are mapped out before us represent two worldviews. That's what it's all about. The worldview of those people who believe that the Bible is God's word and Jesus Christ is our Savior and the infant personal living God of the universe exists along with his laws, his morality, and his plans. And the other worldview, represented by other parties and political movements, does not believe in God. They're humanists. They believe they are God. They completely reject biblical morality, ethics, and they subscribe to a Marxist socialist worldview. Okay? Now, here's the important thing that you have to understand. And if you understand history and are not a dumbed-down Christian, you'll know with mathematical precision what worldview produces what result. Which simply means each worldview, which is either a society has a worldview or viewpoint about the totality of life, which is based on the Word of God and the reality that the biblical God exists, or society has a worldview based on any number of other philosophies. Our society, America and much of Europe and much of the world, has a worldview now built on what's called secular humanism and materialism, which simply means there is no biblical God. There is no God. Man is God. There is no absolute right. There is no absolute wrong. There's no life after death. There's no heaven or hell. And that mankind is the product of an accident hundreds of millions of years ago through various chemicals, etc., mixing, producing a very simple life form, and over hundreds of millions of years, we evolved from like a molecular structure to like, you know, chimpanzee, ape, and then finally human being. Therefore, man has no purpose. Man is an evolutionary accident. And as such, there is no right, there is no wrong. But Darwinian evolution also includes the philosophical viewpoint that the survival of the fittest, right makes might, strength makes right. In other words, if you have the power, you determine morality. And since there is no God, and they'll never say this openly, but the globalist occultic elite of our world believe very firmly and very passionately in the concept, secretly, they're not going to tell the masses, that because they are the most powerful, because they're in a sense gods, that they can do anything they want to get their own pleasure and power, anything, and that there are no consequences to what they do, because they don't even believe in moral decisions. So if they need to slaughter 40 million people to produce a standard of living they want, they'll kill 40 million people. And they've done it throughout history. The global elite, the financial elite, started World War I, World War II, which killed collectively hundreds of millions of people. They started the communist revolutions, which killed hundreds of millions of people. They will do anything it takes to accomplish their goals as God kings, so to speak. Now, if you don't understand that, you're always going to be at a disadvantage if you're dealing with them. So when we look at the media, you're looking at the people, most of the people are low level. in the media, the journalists. They're pawns. They're puppets. They are the foot soldiers, the lower ranking foot soldiers for the elite. But the elite have no problem in lying and doing whatever it takes to destroy a candidate, to put up a candidate. They have no consideration of being accountable for what they have done because they don't believe in the biblical God. So you look at the heads of the globalist elite and that entire elite, such as the technocratic elite or the occult elite or what Huxley referred to as the scientific dictatorship, and you read in their own writings the words of Brzezinski, the co-founder of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he talked about the technocratic elite, and he talked about all kinds of technologies that could use mind control, destroy people, and he advocated for their usage. He's a member of this globalist occult elite. And he says in his books and writings, we need to get beyond traditional morality, concepts of right or wrong, because truly enlightened people, according to him, speaking of the elite, can do anything. And we should not even give a moment's thought about so-called morality. We do what's ever good for us. That's what he was advocating. And that's nothing new, because the globalist elite have been advocating this for centuries. Bertrand Russell, the Fabian Socialists, both H.G. Wells and Bertrand Socialists, both called for making decisions without any acknowledgement of what the rest of the human race called morality or traditional morality, because they see themselves as gods. And that's it, plain and simple. And they are creating a 1% world, that the 1% has all the power and the money, and they have every intention, unless you're blinded, in creating planet Earth as a prison planet where they will rule like god kings and the masses will serve them like feudal slaves. And if you're naive enough to think that they have altruistic or hearts of integrity, well, you're a fool, because that's not what history says. So that's where these two paths go, and this election is just one more example of America, which wasn't supposed to be, by the way. America was never supposed to be, it was never supposed to happen the way it happened. America is the product of God's supernatural intervention, because God's people prayed and took his word seriously, the early pilgrims and Puritans at the founding of America, and they embedded biblical thought deeply into our Constitution and Bill of Rights and the balance of power. That's why America gives people the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech and the freedom of all kinds of things. But that's under attack now by the globalist elite, which are humanists. They didn't plan for America to be like it is. And so today, America is an obstruction to their plans for the Babylonian one-world government, one-world religion, and one-world economic system. And that's why there are so many efforts to take America down, primarily through economics, break it, siphon off the wealth of American people, dismantle it military so America will no longer be a military power, rewrite our Constitution and Bill of Rights. If you notice, one of the questions in the election was, and it wasn't answered properly, but it was a good question. The moderator said, regarding the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which one of you believe that our nation must pursue a path in the future which takes the Bill of Rights and the Constitution literally? And which one of you believe that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is an evolving document that we can change as we need to? Now, this is a very important question, because if you believe it's an evolving document, the Constitution, then it is essentially meaningless. It means any joker, anybody with power, any moron with a PhD can change its meaning to fit whatever humanistic idea is in fashion at the moment. It's interesting how viewing God's holy word as the literal, inspired, inerrant word of God and taking it at its plain meaning is very parallel right now to looking at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and taking it at its plain meaning. Because there are liberal theologians in the Christian church undermining it because they believe that you can that the Bible is an evolving document, that it has filled with errors and we need to improve upon it. And that's the same destructive forces which are doing the same thing to our Constitution. So that's the battle before us. It's a spiritual battle. The election, this election is perhaps one of the most significant, is the most significant election in our nation's history. And but the bigger battle lies ahead, and that is the continual conflict between these two worldviews, one which is biblical and acknowledges Jesus Christ, and one which is humanistic, which believes falsely that man is God and there are no rights and wrongs. That's what's before us, and every Christian doesn't have to be an intellectual or an historian, but every single Christian, evangelical Christian, should at least have a basic, minimal working knowledge of how to apply biblical thinking to everyday life. If they don't, they are sitting under a false teacher of one kind or another, and they are responsible before God for choosing to sit there. There's no polite way of saying it. God's going to hold you accountable. Because every person, every man and woman of God has been given all these spiritual gifts and natural gifts to use. And that requires that you take some minimal effort to develop the gifts that God has given you. And you cannot develop your spiritual and natural gifts without a basic understanding of what a biblical worldview is. So if you're in some trance-like church, which is singing Kumbaya, My Lord, and having a happy face all the time, well, I won't say good luck. I don't believe in luck. You are not being the disciple of Jesus Christ that you were called to be, because a disciple chooses to accept the disciplines of his master, Jesus. That's how you bear much fruit. That's how you see miracles. But if you're going to reject that, then you're just going to be a couch potato for Jesus and nothing's going to happen. So the ball's in our court. We serve a mighty God. The power of prayer is incredible. God is ready to pour out miracles. He's ready to pour out his Holy Spirit on our nation in revival like you've never seen before. Nothing is impossible with God. But God is looking to and fro across the earth to see who's willing to stand in the gap for him and to pray and to take a bold stand for Christ. That's where we are. And what happens to America in the short term, as long as the church is here, we have a job to do. And America has a critical job to do globally in terms of preaching the gospel. And if we're faithful and we cry out to God, God's willing to supernaturally intervene in America, despite who wins the current election. And God will move through you and I or anybody who chooses to make themselves available. And America can be a light and platform for the gospel worldwide. We can have a hope and a future for our nation, but it's going to require people getting engaged in the law-abiding, peaceful, spiritual battle ahead. And that means you're willing to pay a price and you're willing to do some kind of minimal level to educate yourself appropriately. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire. You can get resources, free articles, videos on this, the Paul McGuire Report radio show archives at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. I believe God is calling many of you to stand in the gap. And if God is calling you to be a partner with us in your regular monthly prayers and fasting and intercession for me, myself, and this ministry, we need you to come forward and do that. And then also those that God is calling to be regular partners with us in making contributions and donations so we can expand our television outreach, our media outreach, and really educate people, bring them up to speed so we can make a difference. If you're willing to do that, go to paulmcguire.us and we can the website will show you how to do that. In the meantime, you were called for such a time as this, before the beginning of the world, and you have a purpose and destiny. God bless you. I'm your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire, and visit paulmcguire.us. And you can also partner with us by spreading the word, spreading the links of these programs, and getting this message out. God bless you. I'm Paul McGuire.